able detective department. "It has puzzled them this time, and no mistake," said the man in the corner, with one of his gruesome chuckles. "But I dare say the public is quite satisfied that there is no solution to be found, since the police have found none." "Can you find one?" I retorted, with withering sarcasm. "Oh, my solution would only be sneered at," he replied. "It is far too simple. And yet how logical!" There was Miss Elliot, a good-looking, youngish, ladylike woman, fully qualified in the medical profession and in charge of the convalescent home in Suffolk Avenue, which is a private institution largely patronized by the benevolent. For some time already there had appeared vague comments and rumors in various papers that the extensive charitable contributions did not all go towards the upkeep of the home. But as is usual in institutions of that sort, the public was not allowed to know anything very definite, and contributions continued to flow in, whilst the honorary treasurer of the great convalescent home kept up his beautiful house in Hamilton Terrace in a style which would not have shamed a peer of the realm. That is how matters stood, when, on 2nd November last, the morning papers contained the brief announcement that at 12:15 two workmen walking along Blomfield Road, Maida Vale, suddenly came across the body of a young lady, lying on her face, close to the wooden steps of the narrow footbridge which at this point crosses the canal. This part of Maida Vale is, as you know, very lonely at all times, but at night it is usually quite deserted. Blomfield Road, with its row of small houses and bits of front gardens, faces the canal, and beyond the footbridge is continued in a series of small riverside wharves, which is practically unknown ground to the average Londoner. The footbridge itself, with steps at right angles and high wooden parapet, would offer excellent shelter at all hours of the night for any nefarious deed. It was within its shadows that the men had found the body, and to their credit, be it said, they behaved like good and dutiful citizens. One of them went off in search of the police, whilst the other remained beside the corpse. From the papers and books found upon her person, it was soon ascertained that the deceased was Miss Elliot, the young matron of the Suffolk Avenue Convalescent Home, and as she was very popular in her profession and had a great many friends, the terrible tragedy caused a sensation, as very quickly the rumor gained ground that the unfortunate young woman had taken her own life in a most gruesome and mysterious manner. Preliminary medical and police investigation had revealed the fact that Miss Elliot had died through a deep and scientifically administered gash in the throat, whilst the surgical knife with which the deadly wound was inflicted still lay tightly grasped in her clenched hand. Chapter 2. The man in the corner, ever conscious of any effect he produced upon my excited imagination, had paused for a while, giving me time, as it were, to coordinate in my mind the few simple facts he had put before me. I had no wish to make a remark, knowing of old that my one chance of getting the whole of his interesting argument was to offer neither comment nor contradiction. "When a young, good-looking woman in the heyday of her success in an interesting profession," he began at last, "is alleged to have committed suicide, the outside public immediately want to know the reason why she did such a thing, and a kind of Freemasonic amateur detective work goes on, which generally brings a few important truths to light. Thus, in the case of Miss Elliot, certain facts had begun to leak out, even before the inquest, with its many sensational developments. Rumors concerning the internal administration, or rather maladministration, of the home began to take more definite form. That its finances had been in a very shaky condition for some time was known to all those who were interested in its welfare. What was not so universally known was that few hospitals had had more munificent donations and subscriptions showered upon them in recent years, and yet it was openly spoken of by all the nurses that Miss Elliot had on more than one occasion petitioned for actual necessities for the patients, necessities which were denied to her on the plea of necessary economy. The convalescent home was, as sometimes happens in institutions of this sort, under the control of a committee of benevolent and fashionable people who understood nothing about business, and less still about the management of a hospital. Dr. Kinnaird, president of the institution, was a young, eminently successful consultant. He had recently married the daughter of a peer who had boundless ambitions for herself and her husband. Dr. Kinnaird, by adding the prestige of his name to the home, no doubt felt that he had done enough for its welfare. Against that, Dr.